Psalm 23, hear now the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And let's read that a second time, but all together. Okay? Join me in reading it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Those words have been spoken and memorized by Christians and Jews for thousands of years. For some reason, they resonate with us. They connect to a person's soul. These very familiar and famous words speak deep into the heart of a person. They speak deep truths and comfort, but they also speak conviction and hope. The Lord is my shepherd. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a very personal psalm, but it's a psalm that a whole congregation that can say together too. It speaks of the nature of who God is, his character. And so it's very important. But it speaks of the nature of who God is in a poetic way. Psalm 23 shows us a God who is intimate, imminent, involved, a God who cares, provides, and protects. There's a reason why so many people have this psalm memorized, or at least were required to do so when they were children. And yet at the same time, because it is such a well-known poem of the Bible, it's often overlooked by many people. It's hard to talk about this psalm with any new insights because everyone's heard it so many times, and maybe they've heard so many sermons on it already too. They assume they already know it, and they already know what it means. And unfortunately, some of us have only heard Psalm 23 in only certain circumstances, right? And so the psalm brings back maybe unpleasant memories. A psalm of comfort has turned into a psalm of curse for some people. Like this colleague of mine that I was in chaplaincy training with, she had to go to the emergency room one night. Excuse me. And while she was there and waiting in her room for the nurse to return, a priest happened to walk in. And without getting to know her or her situation or talking to her at all, the priest just launched right into reciting the 23rd Psalm to her. And so my fellow chaplain in training there immediately stopped him and asked him to leave. For her to read Psalm 23, you only read that psalm at a funeral. And she didn't want to hear that psalm in that emergency room that night. She wasn't dead yet. My hope this morning is that this very familiar psalm will still have some surprises for you yet. That this psalm will still speak some comfort, some hope, and conviction as well today. After all, the psalm is meant for the living, not the dead, right? So as we hear the sermon this morning and experience the rest of our worship service, consider what comfort, what hope, what conviction will you hear today? In other words, how is the Lord speaking to you through this very familiar psalm? Professor and author Gerald Wilson nicely divides up the psalm into four parts, which I'm going to paraphrase today as the abundant life, secure life, the blessed life, and the hopeful life. The abundant life, the secure life, the blessed life, and the hopeful life. These divisions come after verse 1, however, which lay out the thesis or the theme for this biblical psalm, or song, as the psalms were sung. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. There it is. That's what this psalm is about. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. It's a metaphor, isn't it? It's a figure of speech. It equates one thing to another thing in some way, but not a literal way, right? So there's something about the image, the idea of a shepherd that's equated with the Lord. But obviously not in a literal way. To say that the Lord is my shepherd doesn't mean he takes care of my literal sheep, right? So it's a metaphor, and the Bible is full of metaphors. There's a richer and deeper meaning here, but also a fluid meaning, depending upon how much you know about being a shepherd, especially being a shepherd in the Middle East, in ancient Israel. So we may have a very limited understanding today. The sheep, you see here, lack nothing because the good and faithful shepherd will lead him to where he needs to be and take care of his needs. So first, the abundant life, verses 2 and 3. The shepherd leads the sheep to an abundant life. To the ancient Israelites and original readers and hearers of this psalm, the idea, the image of a shepherd would have been very common and very familiar. Maybe like the image of a teacher today would be very familiar to us and be just as clear. Unfortunately, like I said, most of us know very little about, first of all, being a sheep, but also being a shepherd, or what a shepherd does, especially in the ancient Middle East. The main job of a shepherd back then was to go ahead of the sheep and to lead the sheep. That is, the sheep aren't led from behind with whips. Sheep are not driven like cattle are driven from behind, but the shepherd goes ahead and leads them. The shepherd takes responsibility and ownership for the sheep, protecting his sheep from predators and thieves. He leads the sheep to watering holes and fields of grass for food. And this was no easy task in a rocky, dry desert of a place. No easy task. There would be seasons of floods and heavy rains, which would leave some temporary lakes and creeks and wadis. But of course, those seasons would pass by and there would be the dry season. And the lakes and the wadis and the creeks would all dry up. Green fields of grass were scarce. The shepherd had to know where the water sources were and how to find grass to feed his sheep. For the sheep, this was a very harsh environment. They went long distances without water and without food, and it was very difficult to climb those dusty, rocky hills and on empty stomachs, or to go down into those valleys and back up the other side, not knowing exactly when the food was going to come, not knowing exactly where the water would be or when they would show up there. They had to trust their shepherd to take them to the abundant life, to take them to where their needs would be met. Anything could be lurking in those shadows too. Those big boulders and the hot sun would cast these long shadows down in those valleys. Anything could be lurking down there. So the shepherd had to care for his sheep through it all. It wasn't an easy job. But the sheep would trust the shepherd to lead them to this abundant life, a life where their needs would be fully met. You see, the words, I lack nothing, I think is better translation than the older one, where I shall not be in want, right? For the psalm isn't about desiring things. It's not about wanting things. Instead, it's a psalm of David who personally declares, I lack nothing. He has all that he needs in the Lord, and he trusts and follows the Lord like a sheep would follow and a sheep would trust in their good and faithful shepherd. Verse 2, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Those are the paths of righteousness, as older translations put it. The Lord leads us on the right paths that take us to where we need to be. That's a good metaphor for life today, too. The Lord leads us on the right paths, taking us not always to where we want to be or think that we need to be, but he takes us to where we actually need to be. The Lord, like a good shepherd, leads us to an abundant life, cares for our needs. So next, the Lord also leads us to the secure life. verse 4, the secure life. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, again, there's another translation issue there too, right? Because the older versions talk about the valley of the shadow of death. There are really two words in one there in the original, and death is part of that. But we understand that word to mean like the greatest. So it's the darkest valleys. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, in the psalm, we go from the abundant life of ease with the shepherd to a fearful threat. What do you mean, darkest valleys? You mean I'm going to experience evil and I need to be comforted? Yeah, we all need to be comforted sometimes. We all need a shepherd. And as I mentioned, the life of a sheep must have been very difficult in that desert environment. Those long shadows cast by those huge boulders would have been a great place for a thief to hide out, a great place for a wild animal to stalk his prey. But there were times when they had to go through them. The shepherd wasn't going to lead them around the shadow or the valley, but the shepherd was going to lead them right into the valley because that's the way they needed to go. Sometimes they had to go in the valley and they had to pass through those scary, dark shadows. And the same is true for us today too. Can't go around it. Sometimes we have to go through the shadows. Sometimes the darkest shadows. Valley of the shadow of death. We have to go through those valleys. And the Lord leads us. There the sheep fear no evil because the shepherd is with them. The shepherd is with them. He carries a short rod or a scepter in one hand, maybe has a heavy ball on the other end, and is used as a weapon. It's used to beat off the wild animals, to protect the sheep. Not to beat the sheep with, but to meet the wild animals with, to protect them. And he also carries a shepherd's crook or a staff with him that helps guide the sheep, to nudge them onto the right paths. Not to beat the sheep with, but to nudge them onto the right paths so that they stay on the right paths. The Lord protects us from the enemy. He guides us through life. Trusting in the Lord, following Him, we know that we will be kept on the right paths in life. The Lord will lead us in a secure life in Him as we trust Him to take us through those darkest valleys, to lead us to where we need to be, where we actually need to be in life. He knows the way. Therefore, we shall fear no evil. And so next, the Lord leads us in the blessed life, verse 5. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, which was a way of blessing. My cup overflows. Here we move from the shepherd sheep imagery kind of to the host and guest image. The shepherd, as the host, lays out a feast before the enemies. The enemies who could do nothing to them because the shepherd's always watching out for them, always watching over them. And so the Lord prepares food and drink for us, for his flock, in the presence of enemies, because nothing can harm them when the Lord's watching over them. They can eat and drink without fear. Their cup overflows because the shepherd provides more than is needed, even more than what is needed. The dinner table is a very intimate image. Dining with the Lord, being in the Lord's presence, is declaring our trust and our hope in Him in the face of all the threats that we face today, too, in the face of all of our enemies. In the Lord's presence, we are anointed, or we are blessed by the Lord. The Lord leads us to an abundant life where we can live in peace and trust Him no matter what threat exists. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I have all that I need with the Lord's presence. And finally, this leads us to a hopeful life. Verse 6. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this trust isn't just about this life, and my needs right now. The psalmist expresses a hope and a trust in the Lord for the next life too. An eternal hope in the Lord is expressed in this psalm. So here's another reason why this psalm is often read at funerals and in cemeteries, right? Here is a deep comfort in knowing that because we belong to the Lord, He does care for us and protect us and lead us along good paths while we trust in Him in this life. And we know that one of those paths is to our eternal home with the Lord forever. From before the foundations of the earth, from conception to eternity, God's got us in his hands. We are led to a hopeful life as we consider and look forward to our ultimate, never-ending, and uninterrupted communion with God and the saints in heaven. When we read and recite this psalm, we are expressing a conviction, a faith in God and our eternal hope. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I will dwell in his house forever in the presence of the Lord. It is our longing desire and our hope, and it is God's promise to those who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, who himself said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. John 10, verse 11. Just as God led his people through the desert wilderness after the Exodus, prepared and provided food and water for them in the wilderness, blessed them abundantly as they went through those darkest valleys in the wilderness, so too, God will bless and provide for you and me as well as we walk through our darkest valleys today. The Lord leads us in an abundant life, to a secure life, a blessed life, and a hopeful life in him. Individuals who confess this psalm as a statement of trust in their Lord know that when they get lost in life, which we sometimes do, and many of you have children who have grown up or maybe are still in high school who are lost spiritually right now, many of us who confess this psalm as a conviction of our trust in the Lord know that there's one who leaves the 99 and will find us too one day. Congregations that get scared, become overwhelmed by the cares of the world, or confused by the choices they face in the world, they know that the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. We lack nothing. God will lead us on right paths, so we trust in him individually, as families, and as a church. The Lord will lead us on right paths. Psalm 23 comes up often. In churches, from pastors, funerals, cemeteries, gravesides. It's memorized by children and adults alike, and it hasn't changed for thousands of years. Same Psalm 23, even though the world around Psalm 23 has changed many times over. It's a psalm that connects with believers in China, Germany, Latvia, Uganda, peoples all over the world. It speaks a message of comfort and hope and provision and conviction to God's people who lived in ancient Israel, or God's people who lived in the Middle Ages, or even to God's people who live in modern America. Everybody needs a shepherd in this life. Everybody needs a shepherd in this life. Who is your shepherd? This psalm helps us confess who our shepherd is, individually and personally, but together as a congregation too. We were already experiencing so many changes in technology and politically before we reached this year. And this year, due to COVID-19, many people have experienced change upon change upon change. And not always for the better either. Maybe reading Psalm 23 today, the words green pastures and quiet waters don't stand out as well as the darkest valleys. Many families grieve the loss of a loved one due to COVID-19 this year. And for them, this year is the darkest valley. This year is the darkest valley. Others today are experiencing a different kind of valley, time of dryness, spiritual dryness maybe due to a sinfulness or impatience or bitterness that have grown up in the heart, or discomfort or frustration or simply isolation. Some have gone back to the so-called normal life, but many have not and cannot yet. Whatever our valley today, the Lord Jesus walks with us like a shepherd, sometimes ahead of us, sometimes alongside of us, sometimes nudging us on the right path, no, this way, sometimes calling our name with his voice. Jesus knows the way. He knows the way through the darkest valleys and those shadows. He knows the way to the other side. He knows the way to the light. Follow Jesus. He'll lead you there. So our faith and our hope and our trust is in him, now and always. May it be so. Will you join me in prayer? God of life, light, and hope, to you we lift our praises and our prayers today. We thank you for the hope of eternal life and for the joy of knowing the Good Shepherd. Help us one and all to recognize his voice in our lives, to follow him on good paths of righteousness, and to find our ultimate comfort, fulfillment, and peace in him. May the Lord's Supper today nourish us for eternal life as we partake of the elements, remember and believe that we belong to Jesus Christ in life and in death because of his one sacrifice on the cross. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.